We're back with more of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Regular Lake Effect listeners will recognize Trapper Shep's name from the weekly credits on the show. Trapper worked in various capacities on Lake Effect for 4 years while he studied at UW-Milwaukee. But to say he's gone on to do interesting work since then is a vast understatement. We interviewed Trapper and his band, The Shades, not long after their first CD, Lived and Moved, was released. But the band's 2012 release ushered in a breathtaking year for the young band, putting them on the rock and roll map far outside the borders of Wisconsin. Run, Injun, Run was the band's debut album after signing a record deal with Los Angeles-based Side One Dummy Records. The songs marry a keen ear for songwriting detail with a rock, country, and folk tradition. With the release came great reviews, tours with the Wallflowers and Soul Asylum, and music videos as well. It's been a fast rise for the Ellsworth, Wisconsin native. Trapper Shep and the Shades are back in Milwaukee on a break from their national travels, and they found their way into the Lake Effect Bungalow again this week for a chat with Mitch Tyke. They started with a song from Run, Injun, Run called Tracks.
Promised a prayer for me if I ever make it back to Milwaukee. So, Sam, won't you please take me west to Wyoming, down the valley, can we? Go and never come back, let the dust rise up and cover our tracks. So Sam, won't you please take me west to Wyoming, down the valley, down can the we valley. Go and never come back, let the dust rise up and cover our tracks.
Trapper Shep and the Shades playing Tracks in Lake Effect Studio C1. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mitch.
Welcome back to the bungalow.
The bungalow feels warm.
Well, before we go any further, because I'm sitting in a different part of the studio than I usually do these interviews, Trapper, let's go around the room and have y'all introduce yourself.
I'm Trapper. And I play guitar and sing.
My name's Graham. I play guitar.
My name's Johnny. I play drums.
I'm Tanner. I play bass.
The song you just played, Tracks, there is a really interesting backstory to that one, if memory serves. What inspired Tracks?
If my memory serves, I was just getting a bit tired of sitting around Milwaukee, I guess. And I really wanted to get out on the road and be playing shows. And we were kind of just stuck playing around Milwaukee, Sheboygan, Madison, all these cities that are great, but we weren't moving anywhere other than that. So I wrote a song to express those feelings of wanting to move farther from Wisconsin, basically.
It's like a speculative road song.
A speculative road song, and it's fared pretty well because it's on the album that has helped us go basically everywhere in the United States this last fall.
Well, and I wonder, is there something similar about this feeling you had about wanting to get out of Milwaukee? If you flash back years before and you were playing in Ellsworth.
That's exact. I couldn't say it better myself.
Your latest video is also for that song, and it's a really cool video. How did it come about?
Well, I've always been a bit camera shy, I will admit, but we met some really rad film dudes from Chicago that our label hooked us up with, and we just had this broad idea of capturing a road trip from Ellsworth to Milwaukee, and we didn't have a whole lot of specifics or other ideas than that, and we went into it with that kind of, again, a broad idea.
There's an iconic Mercedes at the heart of it.
The iconic Mercedes, which is the namesake of the album Run, Injun, Run, which my grandpa gave to my brother Tanner and I about 5 years ago. And yeah, it turned out well, I think. It's fun to watch. My dad helped a lot, thanks to him for getting the car up and running. So when I first told my dad, he was like, there's no way we're bringing that car out in the winter. And I was like, well, we need the music video now. And he's like, all right, I'll see what I can do. So, yeah.
Trapper can't drive stick, though, so.
Tanner is my
chauffeur. This explains why you were behind the wheel for the.
I was a chauffeur. It's driving this.
It's also a weird stick, too, in his defense.
That's it's four
a stick
on the tree.
That's by the wheel.
I can write a song about an old car, but I can't really drive an old car very well.
You've toured before. You've been touring for a long time. But is there something different and more relentless about the kind of touring that you've been done when you get back to Milwaukee after one of the versions of the tours that you've done in recent months? Is it a different kind of tired than when you drive up to Sheboygan and back?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. I've been reading this book, Harry Chapin's autobiography, and he talks a lot in that book about when he first started touring a lot, and he describes it as being a good tired, and, you know, just that feeling of the accomplishment and being worn out all the time, but it being a very celebratory sort of tired. And I think these guys would all agree that getting back from tour and seeing the signs for Milwaukee, it's a great feeling.
I have a whole bunch more questions, but this is a perfect segue to have you to play something else. What are you going to play?
We're going to play a new song called The Ballad of Olaf Johnson, which is about one of my distant relatives who got caught in a blizzard and decided to make the best of it. At the turn of last century, in the heart of Hardin County, a Swedish immigrant by way of Chicago had to go, had to go, had to go. He came late in the fall with all his wagon cooled hard. He felt the cold wind against his cheek. It'd be below zero by the end of the week. He took a good long look around, then dug deep in the ground. He flipped his wagon upside down over a hole where all was brown. The wind went all night, and he cried, ooh, in fright. No bootleg whiskey could keep him warm, but he had shelter from the storm. After 7 long days, yeah, thought about leaving, but he might as well stay. He couldn't feel with his fingertips. He couldn't lick his dried out lips. He dreamt about women and glasses of beer. Yet wake up screaming, but no one could hear. The wind went ooh all night.
spent 2 months down in the ground, like some fox had been chased by a hound. You came up and you didn't make a sound, and he ran and he ran and he never was found. The wind went ooh, all night.
Awesome stuff. Trapper Shep in the Shades in Studio C1. And Trapper, as you well know, I love a good story song, and that is a good story song.
Yeah. I am full of them, as they say.
Or full of it.
Or full of it, depending which way you look at it. I wrote that one after reading a USA Today article about that family legend. I was like, oh, that makes.
Did you like know he was like related to you before or after you read that article?
I read the article because it was emailed to me by my mother, and she said, "We are a family full of persevering good folk." And with that link, I read it, and
I can just picture your mom saying that.
It was something like that.
Well, and maybe this is an obvious question, but you've been writing songs for long enough that how do you think your handling of that story and its song possibilities turned out today versus what you might have done with it if you'd heard about that story 5 years ago?
If I heard about it 5 years ago, it would be the song would be very vague and no one would be able to follow the storyline and there would be a lot of ambiguity there. But I've paid a lot more attention to detail, making every word count as I grow as a songwriter. I think so, at least.
And he has me like complaining and suggesting things every second.
Yeah, we're all a team with this. So,
well, and you're a team that has a record label behind you, and you're meeting up with the Jacob Dylans and the Rhett Millers of the world on the road. How do the contacts that you're making in this business and having the record company behind you affect what you're able to do?
It's another tool. And the music industry and working at this, you have a big toolbox and you're just grabbing tools here and there. And some people are able to help you out more. The owner of our record label always says, we're looking for champions of Trapper Shep in the Shades, people that are really willing to go that extra mile and help out and not just say, oh, I like this band, but actually acting upon that. And like Jacob, for instance.
Yeah, he's part of the reason that Joe Sib, the guy that runs the record label, or Bill Armstrong, one of them, that runs Side One Dummy, was part of the reason we got on the Wallflowers tour, because he's a good friend of Jacob's, I think.
So Joe Sib, one of the owners of the label, we would call him a champion because he... good buddies with Jacob Dylan. He was nudging him along, and we had a few other minor connections to the Wallflowers, and I'm a big fan, and I can speak for all of us, I think, in saying that their album Bringing Down the Horse has been...
It's got some jams on it.
It's got
some
great
tasty jams 90s jams.
Yeah. So well, we were all really happy to be a part of that tour.
And at some level, even though you have become this successful band in its own right, is it still a little surreal when you're invited to go on stage with Jacob Dylan and perform?
Yeah, there's the video of us doing One Headlight with them at South by Southwest, and I think in that video you can see us all kind of looking around at each other like, okay, this is new.
So the success you've had, do you feel like it's also attached a bunch of higher expectations on what you do?
No and yes. Yes and no. It's a tough question. I mean, it like having our first big tour come with the Wallflowers, it sets a precedent with us. We should be able to get big tours like that, and we always should be able to do that, and that's completely unrealistic. I mean, we have just scratched the surface as a band of paying our dues, and I think we're all on the same page with that and have no delusions of where we're at as a band. We're still a baby band, and getting to where we have, I think, in part has been because we haven't had colossal expectations. But at the same time, you have to balance that and have high expectations, because you don't want to be 14 hours out of the way on a tour playing some show to no one as well. So there's a happy medium.
You just gotta, you know, do what you do, and if people like it, they like it.
Yeah, not overthink it. But Johnny is a veteran, and I think he could weigh on this a little bit more than I can.
I'm kind of a firm believer of trying to take whatever little opportunity you can to kind of further yourself. And I think myself, I've missed a lot of opportunities, but I have no regrets about that. Kind of everything happens for a reason. But I think that Trapper, you going to the Whammies last night and meeting the people from Summerfest and Harley Fest, it was a great thing for us, because today we got an offer to play Harley Fest with ZZ Top. And I don't think that really wouldn't have happened if you didn't capitalize on chatting with people and taking charge of these opportunities that we have.
There's a lot of hard work that you do as a band that seems so pointless at the time, but in the long run you look at it and say, wow, so that's why that actually happened, that one little meeting. Just getting in front of someone's face and saying, hi, I'm Trapper. It's really nice to meet you. And having that face-to-face communication, I've found, goes really a long distance.
Is your schedule, do you find it, is it inhibiting as far as writing goes, or is it energizing?
Both. Like right now we have a lull in touring. This is actually our biggest break we've had in a while, a few weeks, but we've still had stuff like this throughout and whatnot. But I find the thing that's most inspiring to me as a writer is when I'm busy, when I'm doing other things, and not when there's dull moments.
We've actually gotten together and have written the most since we have for Run Engine Run.
That's true.
Lately. We worked out probably 5 to 6 songs over the last month.
Well, so before you go, first of all, let me say thanks to all of you. And Trapper, we really are proud of you back in the Lake Effect Bungalow.
Thank you, Mitch. It's an honor to be here again.
It's been a real slice, Mitch.
Thanks for having us.
A real slice, Mitch.
And Trapper, what are you going to play us out with?
I'm going to do a new song by just me and my lonesome, and it's called Dear Prospect, and it's about my good friend Paul Henneke, who got drafted by the LA Dodgers last year, and he's currently coming up in the Farm League right now. And I'd like to think we're kind of playing in the Farm League of the music industry right now, too. So. Dear prospect, won't you please pick me? Last season I hit a 370, and when I stand behind the plate, I'm hoping you're there to see. Dear prospect, please pick me.
The Trapper Shep and the Shades played in Lake Effect Studio C1, and they spoke with Mitch Tyke. Our interview was engineered by John Strelecki. Trapper and the Shades will play part of the exclusive company's National Record Store Day celebration Saturday afternoon at the company's Milwaukee store. The band's next full local concert will be in June as the opening act for the Old 97s concert at Turner Hall. And that is all the time we have today. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you can be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh Air comes your way next.
I'm sick of playing ball for this university. Wish I was out on the diamond
in the big leagues. I should have took that offer when I was 17. Instead, I majored in marketing. Dear prospect, won't you please call me at 414-588-9223. And when I hear that phone ring, my mama's...